Today on Our Life in Christ and in America, Bill Hinkle speaks with Paul Finley, Director of Focus, about Cleveland St. Herman House of Hospitality.
Paul Finley, formerly Director of the Antiochian Village, now Director of St. Herman House of Hospitality in Cleveland, Ohio, a ministry of Focus North America, is our guest today. Paul, Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. You know, I got to know you over at the Antiochian Village, and we became fast friends, especially around the cantor stand. But let's get right into talking about your ministry. Tell me, tell our audience here, what is St. Herman House, and how do you work with Focus North America?
Well, St. Herman's House is a ministry that's been here for a number of years. We're actually in our 37th year. It began as a monastery in 1977, and about 3 years ago, it had to disband as a monastery. However, both the community and the local Orthodox churches, of which there are 29 here in the greater Cleveland area, really wanted the ministry to continue that the monastery was doing, which it's always been committed principally to feeding the poor and sheltering homeless men. And so after a transitional board was put into place, and over a period of time and dialogue with Focus North America, which they were engaged with, really they approached them in need of a consultant, it became readily apparent that they just needed for Focus North America to take over this operation. So when I arrived January 1st of 2013, it officially became a part of Focus North America, and it's so well known in the community, we retained part of the name, so it's the St. Herman House, Focus Cleveland.
That's awesome. Tell me now, how did you end up at St. Herman House?
Well, actually, in early November of 2012, I approached the director of Focus Pittsburgh, who I know very well and have a lot of admiration for, Paul Abernathy, and I told him that I wanted to, you know, present to the executive director of Focus North America, Nick Chakos, a plan for starting a Focus Center in Columbus, Ohio. And I had an ulterior motive, and that was to get closer to my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson. And as is often the case, God doesn't care about our ulterior motives. And so they immediately started talking to me about Cleveland, both Paul Abernathy and then when I went to Nick Chakos. And I paid a couple of visits up here at the end of 2012. I actually spent some nights with the men in the shelter. And, you know, so I didn't go due west from where I was working. It was more northwest, but I'm really thankful for the opportunity that God has given me to serve with the faithful here in Cleveland.
That's amazing. Now, I understand. I thought there was only about 7 parishes around Cleveland, but you're saying 29 parishes. That's kind of amazing. Are they involved? And what about not just the Orthodox churches, but what other kind of community support do you get there?
I get tremendous support from the Orthodox churches and from the community. And if you extend it beyond what's kind of known as the Greater Cleveland Orthodox Clergy Council to include like Akron and Canton, there's probably approaching 35 to 40 churches in this area. In many respects, it's a great and very old center of Orthodoxy in this country. All of the churches, individually and through the Orthodox Clergy Council, are very supportive. They're supportive in terms of monetary gifts. They're supportive in terms of volunteerism. They're supportive in terms of gifts in kind, bringing clothing, canned foods, other food products down here for us to use in the ministry. Additionally, and remarkably, and I think it's because of the long history here, we get probably as much as, I won't really say 50%. I've really never looked at it, but a tremendous amount of support from Roman Catholic communities, a number of different Protestant communities. I have two large Roman Catholic churches in particular that come down here, cook and serve a meal. at least once or twice a month. And one of them in particular from the Shaker Heights area just raised $20,000 for us during when they made us their outreach for Great Lent and are buying some new equipment that we need here and doing some carpentry repairs to the house.
Oh, thank God. That's wonderful support, and it's great to have that testimony. In the West, it seems that a lot of the parishes, and there's a lot of mission parishes in the West, we're just trying to eke out an existence and establish a stronghold, so to speak, for Orthodoxy. In the Midwest and East, you've been there a long time, and so you have that infrastructure and interest. That's just wonderful to see. Do you see, as you've traveled the country, do you see that? It seems to me that, anyway. Have you seen that same thing?
Well, I think it's true. I think there's a dual reality. Is in the same area where you have a lot of older established Orthodox community, the Midwest and the Northeast, is the same area where you have some tremendous poverty and a great deal of need. So it's only natural that, one, you would see a lot of motivation to serve, but you're also seeing parishes that are to a point in their existence and their history where, you know, perhaps they're more able to serve. You know, I'm convinced that anybody can serve, even if it's a small mission with few resources. Because you can still volunteer, you can still help out maybe in another ministry that's not officially Orthodox, but it's a ministry that's helping people in need. So you should do what you can, but I think your assessment of it's correct, that there's probably more going on here, and there are established churches to do it. And the oldest church in Cleveland was established in 1896, so there's over 100 years of history here. And, you know, some of the issues of making it in America, buying property, building a church, you know, helping immigrants enculturate in this society, it's like the churches have matured. And I think many of them are looking beyond their own doors of how do we reach the non-Orthodox and how do we help people in need.
Right. Paul, you've been a pastor. You've run a large event center, hotel operation at the Village. Besides your life before that, you have a great resume, I guess I would say. But how has this ministry changed you?
Well, it's changed me in a lot of respects. You know, I think it's easy to kind of rationally know that you need to help the poor. And even if you volunteer at a soup kitchen or, you know, raise canned foods at your parish, there is a qualitative difference when you actually go and live and work amongst the people that really need your help. And I think one of the realities is that you sort of get in touch with the human side of where everybody's coming from. You know, this may sound odd, but what I've discovered is that people are people, whether they come to a real nice conference center in Western Pennsylvania, or whether they're in your parish, or whether they're coming to a shelter for food. You know, you meet this whole spectrum of individuals, and you know, there's different levels of kindness, there's different levels of concern, there's the spectrum here, probably you have more folks that are, you know, struggling with mental health issues, but you also have people that are very capable that come through. And so I've just been moved at how true it is what we believe, that everyone's created in the image of God, you know, that and you know, that when you get to know people that are in these circumstances, you see that reality, and I mean, it gives me an optimism about genuinely being able to help people.
You probably relate to this. I was checking Facebook this morning, as I do often, and the New York City Rescue Mission did a social experiment where they dressed people's family members as homeless to see how they would react.
Right.
It's a pretty heavy thing to watch, but it was very interesting because they took their family members, dressed them as as homeless, and these people walked right by him.
Right.
Didn't recognize him, and I thought of Lazarus laying at the rich man's gate, you know, full of sores, and the guy just walking by. But these people were touched. You could see when they were told, you know, hey, you know, he just walked by, and they came back. You could tell, and even watching it on the computer afterwards, I think it just shocked me as to, I think, that human touch that you were talking about, that the discovery of those people, that they were just ignoring their fellow man.
Right.
So I can just imagine. I know anybody that works the street in those kind of ministries, it touches you.
That's right. Well, you know, we just celebrated Holy Unction in most of our churches.
Yes.
And you're talking about walking by on the other side. The first gospel reading of the first of the seven gospels is the gospel of the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe another way to put just some sense to my thoughts on your question is, you know, most of the time when we hear that parable read, it's presented to us as a moral lesson. We're not to be like the priest. We're not to be like the Levite. We're to be like the Samaritan. And the moral lesson's true. You know, we are to stop and help people. But I think one of the reasons it's read in unction is not so much the moral lesson that we're to be like the Samaritan. It's the truth that we're like the guy in the ditch. You know, we're like the guy that's been wounded. And
yes.
It says the Samaritan anointed him with oil and water, which is precisely the ingredients of our holy unction. And we're to see Jesus as the Samaritan. You know, he's the one outside the priestly line. And I think, you know, maybe that's part of it is, it's not so much, I know in working here I see the humanity, but in working here I identify with the brokenness.
Yes.
You know, with the fact that I'm not much different than them. Mm. I may not have ever been homeless. I may not have ever had an addiction. But all of us go through a measure of pain, and I think when we witness and engage with the pain that exists on the streets, it helps us to understand our own pain and help us to understand what Christ, the great physician, our good Samaritan, has done for us.
Yes, amen. That gets to me to the next point. I asked you about the impact that you have had personally in your own life.
Bill.
Yes.
I'm not. Hello?
Yeah.
All right.
You're coming
Sorry
through
this. Sorry about that. I don't know whether you can edit this, but I wasn't hearing you at all there for a minute.
Okay. No, we're good to go here. I asked you about how this affected you. I'm curious, have you seen a change in the Orthodox that participate and just a general folks that come and participate, do you see them having that same impact in their lives? Are they, I just think, you know, there's a concept of almsgiving as part of our spiritual life and a way to open our hearts up to the grace of God. And can you speak to that just briefly before we finish up here?
I can. You know, not everybody's called to do what I do or to be here day in and day out. So I don't want to diminish what anybody does. If someone's praying for us, thank God.
Yes.
If somebody's donating money to us but they don't really come around, thank God. If somebody's dropping things off, I do think that they experience something more and a little deeper by just being in the presence of suffering, which when we come into the streets with ministries like Focus North America, we enter into the presence of suffering. And that's precisely what Jesus did when he became incarnate and became a man for our salvation. He came into a world that was suffering, that needed redemption. So, you know, and then the ones that actually come and do more than just drop off things, they volunteer, they cook a meal, they help serve, they engage with our residents, they engage with people that are coming to eat. You know, in every case, I've seen not only them be moved by the suffering that they're witness, but sort of lifted up in their own hearts and their own thankfulness for what God has done for them.
Glory to God. Well, how can people get more involved in your ministry and in ministries like this?
Well, you know, I sort of enumerated already, but, you know, one, you definitely can pray. Number two, even if you're in an area where there isn't a focused ministry, Focus North America needs your help, it needs your support, it needs your financial support. You know, whenever we come up short here locally, whether it's in Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Indianapolis, St. Louis, all the Focus centers, it's Focus North America, whose headquarters are in Pittsburgh, that makes up the difference. So we're raising money on local levels, but they're raising money nationally to support the works that are in place, but also to expand the reach of what the Orthodox Church is doing. I know there's dialogue in other cities right now to start centers. If you're in an area where there's a Focus center, go visit it. Go volunteer. Get involved in what they're doing. If not, find a way to serve. You know, Martin Luther King has a great quote, which I probably won't get exactly right because I don't have it in front of me, but he said, anybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject agree with your verb to serve. You only have to have a heart full of love, a heart that is generated by grace.
Amen.
And so, you know, what can you do? I promise you, wherever you are in this world, you don't have to go very far to find somebody in need that could use your help. And if you would deliver that help in the name of Christ, they will receive it as from the hand of Christ himself.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for taking time with us this morning. That's such an encouragement. Again, this is Paul Finley, who is the director of St. Herman House of Hospitality in Cleveland, Ohio. Ministry of Focus North America. It's been great to talk with you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Christ is risen.
Truly, he is risen.
You've been listening to Our Life in Christ and in America with Bill Hinkle. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.